First of all, just as an overview, I want to talk about my sabbatical by the numbers. First number is 4. Oh, by the way, just to make us feel a little bit more like we're outside, this is what it would look like if you were sitting there listening to me. 4, that's the number of educational or training opportunities I had during sabbatical. The first was I received training to be part of a youth aid panel. It's in local municipalities like East Lampeter. It's a panel of people who would meet with a juvenile who's gotten into trouble. It's restorative justice. So working with that individual to give them alternate activities that builds them up, but also makes them aware of what they did. You know, there's kind of restorative activity. So I'm going to start doing that probably in the fall with East Lampeter. The second one is I'm part of an ongoing training with LMC. It's called MDNA, Missional DNA. It's how, as a person or as a church, it's in our very DNA to shine the light and the love of Jesus around us. The third is I studied 1 John throughout my 3 months. I tried to read all of it or part of it every day. Wasn't able to do that every day, but also read commentaries and so forth just to really go deep in that book. So that'll be a series of messages for the next month or so, 1 John. So if you want to read that ahead, feel free to do that. The other was a couple weeks ago I attended the MCUSA convention for a couple days down in Greensboro, North Carolina, and took part in seminars there. The next number is 4 again. I took part in 4 spiritual direction visits. I connected with a spiritual director and I'm meeting with him, virtually once a month just to, kind of look at my spiritual life and process that. 3, the number of community connections I made. That was one of my goals. The biggest community connection I made was I went around to every house in my neighborhood and invited them to come to our house the next week for a night of cornhole. And just going to the door to door was great because I met probably twice as many people as I had met in 4 years or 3 years there. But then we had a good turnout too, and people were saying, we need to do more of this. We used to, but we never get together anymore. So it was a good start. I spent one night at Common Wheel. It's an organization in Lancaster. They refurbish bicycles and give them out to kids. So I did that for one evening. And then John and I took part in the croquet fundraiser out back here for New Person Ministries. And we actually won. I think there was 6 teams. So wasn't a great number of competition, but it was a good day. 7, it's the number of churches we visited. 2 of them were April's home church at Grace Mennonite and my home church at Zion Mennonite back east. But the other 5 were just local churches, part of our district, Conestoga River District, especially churches that I didn't really know a lot about. So that was good to get to know some of those churches and pastors. I took part in 3 funerals, Marvin's, of course, and then there was 2 individuals from my former church who just wanted me to share some reflections as a former pastor at their funerals. 9,200, it's the number of miles I traveled over those months. A big part of that was my son Sam, who graduated from Drexel in June, moved to Seattle, got a job and moved to Seattle, so he packed up his Jeep. And the 2 of us drove cross country to move them out there. And then I flew back. 300 plus, that's how many miles I rode on my bike. And the best part of that was, our 3 adult kids and I took a 3-day bike trip on the Gap Trail, going into Pittsburgh. And April was our support vehicle along the way. But, great experience with the kids. 15 is the number of miles I backpacked in Dolly Sod's wilderness area. It's in West Virginia. I was part of a pastor's backpacking trip that was led by my friend Kevin. And I ended up being the only one who signed up. So it was a great time for us to connect as friends. 14 is the number of states that I was in. And 10 is the number of coffee shops where I studied and journaled and so forth. I was at other coffee shops, but this is where I actually sat down with a journal and so forth and did some study and reflection. So a little bit of an overview of my 3 months. So I want to share these three scriptures with you. So first, Claire, could you read 1 John 1, 1 to 7?
We announce to you what existed from the beginning, what we have heard, what we have seen with our eyes, what we have seen and our hands handled about the word of life. The life was revealed, and we have seen, and we testify, and announce to you the eternal life that was with the Father and was revealed to us. What we have seen and heard, we also announce it to you so that you can have fellowship with us. Our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. We are writing these things so that our joy can be complete. This is the message that we have heard from Him and announced to you. God is light, and there is no darkness in Him at all. If we claim we have fellowship with Him and live in the darkness, we are lying and do not act truthfully. But if we live in the light in the same way as He is in the light, we have fellowship with each other, and the blood of Jesus, His Son, cleanses us from every sin.
A lot of themes in there that we'll get into in the next number of months. Fellowship, love, light, truth, darkness, light. But, you know, he starts out, I want to tell you about that which was from the beginning. We heard it, we saw it, we touched it, the word of life. And so literally Jesus as the word, they were right there with him, hearing him, touching, seeing, you know, seeing the God's very presence right there with them on this earth. That which was from the beginning. So literally Jesus, the word, but also this good news that's from the beginning. From the very beginning, God was about life and creating or restoring life. And we were right there when Jesus came to offer life. And so my biggest learning from 1 John, I think, for me was just that this life gets embodied in us. It becomes real. You can see it. You can touch it. You can hear it. Our faith isn't just some like spiritual stuff floating out there. But it's real and tangible. It's not just an abstract thought. So how is that life really taking root in us, and how can we share that with others? And just that last verse that was read really is a good summary of what the church is all about. He says three things. If we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus cleanses us from all sin. So as a group here, we're a people who have been cleansed from sin, and we experience fellowship together. You know, it's some kind of deep connection that goes beyond just that we eat a meal together, like we're about to do. But there's something deep and rich about our relationship, and we walk in the light together. So again, just a little taste of what we'll be getting into and what spoke to me. The second one, 1 Kings. Can we have the microphone over for Janet? This is about Elijah.
Ahab told Jezebel all that Elijah had done and how he had killed all the prophets with the sword. Then Jezebel sent a messenger to Elijah saying, "So may the gods do to me and more also if I do not make your life like the one like the life of one of them by this time tomorrow. Then he was afraid. He got up and fled for his life and came to Beersheba, which belongs to Judah. He left his servant there. But he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness and came and sat down under a solitary broom tree. He asked that he might die. It is enough now, O Lord, take away my life, for I am no better than my ancestors. Then he lay down under the broom tree and fell asleep. Suddenly an angel touched him and said to him, "Get up and eat." He looked, and there at his head was a cake baked on hot stones and a jar of water. He ate and drank and lay down again. The angel of the Lord came a second time, touched him, and said, "Get up and eat, otherwise the journey will be too much for you." He got up and ate and drank. Then he went in the strength of that food 40 days and 40 nights to Horeb, the mount of God. At that place he came to a cave and spent the night there. Then the word of the Lord came to him, saying, "What are you doing here, Elijah?" He answered, "I have been very zealous of the Lord, the God of hosts, for the Israelites have forsaken your covenant, thrown down your altars, and killed your prophets with the sword. I alone am left, and they are seeking my life to take it away." He said, "Go out and stand on the mountain before the Lord, for the Lord is about to pass by." Now there was a great wind, so strong that it was splitting mountains and breaking rocks in pieces before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind, an earthquake. But the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, a fire. But the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, a sound of sheer silence.
So this was our scripture on our backpacking trip. And it's a good scripture to think about for pastors who are on retreat. And I can't say, like, I can't relate to Elijah in the sense that I entered sabbatical just like exhausted, or that I entered sabbatical thinking I'm the only one left who has any belief. You know, I'm surrounded by unbelief. But just in a more general sense, Elijah here gets to this place in his life where the circumstances around him are what, speaks to his heart, or what, gives him his attitudes and his perspectives. And so God needed to come along and speak to his inner self. You know, and so first he's nourished by the ravens there, by those cakes of bread. And so he has enough strength to make this long journey to Mount Horeb. And then there, he has this powerful, encounter with God. And it wasn't in the wind or fire or anything, but it was in that still small voice, or that gentle whisper that God spoke to Elijah. So for me, sabbatical was a time to kind of step back and let God speak to my inner self, during those 3 months. How can I, gain a greater sense of God's direction, God's empowerment, God's knowing how beloved I am? You know, how can God speak to my inner self and let that be what propels me and directs me? And I especially felt like, the Lord was speaking to me in areas of leadership and in communication. And part of this too was in being able to step back is to say, you know, I probably have 10 years of ministry left, you know, real active ministry now that I've hit 60. And, you know, how can I truly be a person of influence as God wants me to be, that I wouldn't hesitate in offering influence into other people's lives? How can I have deeper engagement that somehow offers something of significance to people? So I just felt that invitation to take the reservoir of experiences and study and church life and faith that's accumulated, and offer that to other people. And knowing that anything different in my life isn't going to be because I say I'm coming out of sabbatical and I resolve to be different or new, improved or whatever, but that it's going to come out of the fact that I have a deeper connection and intimacy with God every day that somehow leads the way for me. So that's some of the stuff that was going on more inside of me over the last 3 months. And then one more scripture, Acts 2, Terry.
Acts 2:42-47. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe at the many wonders and signs performed by the apostles. All the believers were together, and they had everything in common. They sold property and possessions to give to anyone who had need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all people. And the Lord added to their numbers daily to those who were being saved.
So another part is just to think, to be able to step back and think, you know, what's the church all about? What does ministry look like? And often the questions we ask are, how do we offer this program, or who's going to fill these roles, which are all really important questions. But deeper than that, or more foundational, it's, you know, how are we the church? How are we offering worship? How are we fellowshipping together? How are we devoted to prayer? This kind of thing. Like, how is that being planted in our church life? So there was five things mentioned here. They were devoted to the apostles' teachings. There was fellowship. Again, that we'll talk about fellowship from 1 John, but just really deep and honest connections together. There was breaking of bread, which we think about communion, but like more generally, it's the presence of Jesus with us. So just like the two on the road to Emmaus, like our hearts were burning as we were with Jesus. When we're gathered, how are our hearts burning because he's present here? Or how do we sense Jesus's sacrificial love in our midst? Or how are we seeing his redeeming, healing power at work here in our midst? How are we devoted to prayer is the fourth thing. And then how do we have awe and wonder? You know, how are we noticing that God's intervening? Like that was a great testimony by Claire and Merle. Just seemed like that was an act of God, that connection Rosemary made. Everybody was blessed. She was blessed, but the couple that she's working for seemed to be blessed by that whole situation. Just seems like God intervened in just the right way, in that way. So how are we in awe and wonder of how God's moving? But just to add to that, I also read a book called Chasing Francis. And it's a book, it's written as an autobiography, like a pastor writing his story, but I don't think it's true. I think the author wrote it just to get some points across. But the story is about a pastor of an evangelical church who just after a while felt like there wasn't a lot of substance to what they were doing. And that's not a statement about evangelical churches in general, but that's where he was at. And he left for a while, and it was suggested he go see his uncle, who is a Franciscan friar in Italy, and get to know St. Francis. And through that, he's felt like he gained a richer sense of what the church was all about. And these were some of the things that he said. That church isn't just about convincing the mind, but also captivating hearts. You know, it's not just about the teaching, the word that we do, but how are we captivating hearts? How are there transcendent encounters? How are we seeing God in our midst? Like in creation, as we interact with the poor, as we go through prayers and liturgy, as we have rich symbols like the light that's lit up front, as we experience the Spirit in our community, things like that. How are we encountering God in our midst? How are we experiencing radical generosity as a people? How are we combating unjust conditions for people? How are we giving dignity to broken people? How do we experience meaning, this broader meaning from this eternal God than just what we typically face day to day? So again, the third part of sabbatical is just that idea of just really reflecting on what's the church all about at its foundation, that what can we build into our fellowship here? So a lot of thoughts there, but that's what my reflections have been. I just thought before I stop, I'd pause if anybody has any questions that they want to ask from my experiences. Feel free to do that. Well, I mean, just pure enjoyment is the two things I mentioned. Well, we had a whole week of family time, because Sam graduated from Drexel and Ellen came in from Portland. So for a week, the whole family was together. So that whole week was great, but especially biking with my kids. The fact that they asked me in the fall, they said, "We want to go with you on a bike trip." That's great for a father to hear. And just not only spend time together, but we had this common adventure together. So that was great. And then driving cross country with my son was also great. Then I also just appreciated the personal times I could take.
I think it's neat, Steve, that you prioritize what you give. And you always make us feel like you're one of us, and that you're not up here somewhere, but that you walk and you grow with us all the time, trying to grow as a Christian. I think that's meant a lot to me. Thank you for your care.
So Steve was saying numbers. The number he didn't give out was 5. And that was the amount of the times that he connected with Rose and I, doing my biopsy surgery, doing my surgery. He even came into the hospital in April or on the way down to the river to go on biking, and he stopped at the hospital. But the prayers he had with me over the phone were so meaningful. And I really appreciate it.
Good. Thanks.
I'm impressed also with the fact that you're on that you're thinking and supposed to be thinking about your own life and your family. But if your heart was with us, somehow I think you did not forget your
Yeah. It makes a difference to stay in the area. Like, if I would have gone to Tibet, you know, and climbed a mountain, I maybe wouldn't have thought of it as much. A lot greater distance, but, yeah. It was just a great adventure where we could drive and talk together, listen to a book on tape, and get a motel room together. The one thing I would have changed is, before you load the Jeep, put the seat all the way back. Because I got in the Jeep first day and my knees were against the dashboard. So that could have been better. Made me sit up straight the whole time. But yeah, that was just a fun adventure going through all those states. We're going to close with a song, I think, right? And then we'll be dismissed to there's different areas for a little bit of activity.